I made this like quick wrap and then I you know, I had like a little bit of cream cheese in there, ham, cucumbers, sprouts. I'm trying to put good things in there, and romaine lettuce. And then I was like, this is too bland. I need some spicy. And I have my favorite hot sauce. It's called Dawson's. It's my favorite one right now.
Oh, I've never tried that.
Anyways, I'm really excited. Oh, Mike, it's good. I'm going to find it for you and send that to you.
All right. We need to be capturing this. This is all very important information that we should be recording.
I was recording on my end because I knew that that information was important. I knew you would care. But it's called Dawson's, and it's delicious. My lips are burning. I feel like it's my asshole.
That's... That's really fun. Did I ever say about the first time I had never experienced sriracha before? This was many years ago.
I used to make
like these black bean quesadillas with the brown rice tortillas from Trader Joe's, which is my favorite thing.
Yeah.
And I would usually put like just a little hot sauce of some kind. I can kind of vary my hot sauces. I have ones that I like more than others, but I can kind of do it. And I made this one and I was like, I don't have any hot sauce. That's such a bummer. But my roommate had sriracha and I'd never ever had it before. And the thing about sriracha is that it's super hot, but like for some reason it didn't really like it tasted so good.
Yeah,
that I was like scooping it. I was like using my tortilla to like scoop it.
Yeah,
yeah, it hurt later. There was some fallout later on.
Something felt like my lips right now. That's so funny. No, I do. I love hot sauce, and this one is really good. It is very hot though. You can't just down it. It's the kind that, like, if you have too much, you'll get a hiccup. Or maybe that's just me. I get the hiccup sometimes when I get too spicy food in my body.
I have a kind that I like, but I don't use it very often because it kind of has that same effect. And what is it called? It's one that actually I want to say that Annabelle got for me. And I think it's called, like, Ninja Squirrel or something like that. And it's like it's like a coconut cream hot sauce. So it, like, has a creaminess. It's really, really good.
That sounds yummy.
But I have to be careful with it. How's it going? How's your... You had a busy day. You had a busy morning.
Yeah, I've been busy. I've been busy with work and just, like, meetings. Taking a little lunch to do some recording today, which is great and super fun. Because I always look forward to seeing your face.
Yay. Same.
Just saying.
And like last week kind of sucked. So I just wanted to quickly say that I'm feeling much better this week.
Good. I'm so glad.
I got to talk to my mom and she's feeling better. And she's just, she's on this medication that has all this crazy side effects where like she literally... She sees people.
That's scary.
She thinks that people are like... Yeah, she thinks people are in her apartment. Like she thinks... Like, she thought that someone was sleeping on her couch. Like, it's that kind of thing where and I can only imagine that when you have that, your sense of reality.
That's scary.
I don't know. Like, if you don't have your sense of reality, I get that, like, that must make things. Yeah. So, she has a doctor's appointment, like, right now. I'm actually going to be calling her when I'm done with you. Good. To kind of, like, see if they've worked some stuff out. Because, yeah, it's been rough, but she was in much better spirits when I talked to her yesterday, and... So there you go. I just wanted to give like a quick update on that to.
Yeah, no, that's good to know. I'm glad to hear that.
I did have kind of a crazy thing happen this last weekend. I have two things that I want to talk about. One was not great and one was pretty great. So the not great one was that Saturday night I went into work, and it was really funny because I walked into work and the bar back, he sometimes bartends, but in general, he's like the service bar. And he was like smiling at me. Like I was like, oh, hey, he's feeling friendly today. That's cool. And I kind of like, hey, and I waved and I kept walking. I went downstairs and one of my managers, and I really truly like love both of my managers that I'm working with right now. And one of them kind of like came out and she was like smiling at me too. And I was like, everyone's very friendly today. And she was like, hi, Mike, how are you feeling? I'm like, yeah, I'm doing okay. She's like, well, so here's the thing. The bartender called out. I can't get the backup bartender to come. I can't even get like another bar back to show up. We have no bartender. I really need you to go behind the bar tonight. So here's the thing. I have bartended before. I have bartending experience. I don't have nearly as much bartending experience as, say, you have, who did it for like many years. I have like limited bartending experience. And like the last time I was behind a bar was probably about 15 years ago.
Wow.
And it was like vodka soda bartending. Sure. And like, here's your frozen margarita bartending. My restaurant has like 10 specialty cocktails, one of which calls for like, egg white, many of which call for like very specific pours. Like our our drink list is alcohol heavy in that, like, they're very small drinks, mm-hmm. but they're very specific pours of, like, different kinds
they
of, like,
a punch.
Correct. So I immediately am like, anxiety here. Oh, like, yeah. Oh my gosh, I have to go behind the bar. And I will say that for the most part, because I literally was like, beers and wines, who wants beers and wines?
Yeah.
You know? And it was like primarily that. Like it was probably 90% beer and wine and like stuff that was really, really easy to do. I just felt really bad because I'm behind a bar that has like 9 seats. So I'm taking care of like these 9 people, which is pretty easy. And like food wise, of course, I know what I'm doing. Just drink wise, like every once in a while someone would be like, can I get an espresso martini? And I'd be like, absolutely, John, I need an espresso martini.
Yes,
because like
absolutely.
I needed him to make anything that was fancy. Yeah. And I like, I when I was back there, I was like, all right, I can, I know how to make a few things. So it was mostly fine. But I felt terrible because here's this guy who's a very good bartender, but he's literally making drinks for like the 50 tables that are in the restaurant.
Right. I thought you were gonna have to do that. Luckily you didn't.
No. Oh, that would have been a disaster. Yeah. Yeah, that would have been a disaster. So it made much more sense the way that it was, but I felt really bad because he had so much work to do. And then I would like not have anything to do. So I would like, oh, a beer. Like I'd see like a beer come up and be like, I can do that. Like I would like try to help where I could.
Yeah.
But I felt so bad because I just knew that I was not like pulling as much weight as like a usual bartender would. Anyways, we got through the night and it all was fine. And in the end, it's just like a restaurant and everything was okay.
Yeah.
But I will say that then I had Sunday off and I went in yesterday to work and I was walking to work and I was so nervous. Like my anxiety was so high and I was like, why am I freaking out? And I'm like, oh, total PTSD. Like,
yeah,
you're just waiting tables tonight. Like breathe. It's all going to be fine.
Oh my God.
And it was okay, but it was nuts. I don't know. Like, I don't know what to compare it to, but like going to a situation where you're then asked to do 100% not what you're used to doing.
Yeah. I mean, also bartending is, you know, I sometimes would love to jump in and do some bartending right now, but the first day of any shift in a new spot, things you have, part of being a really good bartender is knowing exactly where everything is.
Right. And I did not, like at every turn I was
yeah.
like, yeah.
But that's
I was like,
stressful.
Where's the ginger liqueur? Where's the, yeah, and like not knowing, and I wish I could show you, I can't really show you my hands as well. I have so many cuts on my hands.
Oh yeah.
Because I would like go to reach for something and there'd be like something sharp near, or like, you know, all the little like
yes.
store things, like pour things that put on top of bottles. I would just like constantly be like cutting myself and like then trying to like heal myself behind the bar without anyone seeing. It was quite an experience. It was
yeah.
quite, and plus it was a Saturday night. And then on top of that, at
That's
some point,
crazy.
Yeah, at some point the bar back was like, well, who did they get to replace you on the floor? And I was like, no one. We're just short one server on like an incredibly busy Saturday night.
Wow.
So everyone, like just across the board, everyone was like stressed and just like trying to like get through it. And it was an interesting night at my job. And once again, everything was fine. It all turned
Good.
Out fine, but it was very, very stressful.
Well, I hope you made money.
You know, we did. Good. We didn't make quite as much as I thought we should have, but we're doing fine.
Yeah.
It's interesting being at it, because I've been at this like sort of cavernous restaurant for the past many years and being at kind of a smaller space. I don't know. I think it's because there's less like hands in the pot, but we're making pretty good cash.
Good.
That's
I'm glad.
I won't get too ghost.
You should,
yeah.
Because for going through abuse like that, at least something's gotta be positive.
Holy Moses. Yeah, it was so stressful. So on the flip side of that, a really cool thing that happened, I got to go to my first Broadway show in over a year and a half.
Yay!
Yeah, it was super fun. I actually walked there. It's like a good like 5-mile walk from my apartment to the theater district. But I liked it. You know, I like to walk.
Yes,
and it was fun.
I do
like
too.
I didn't wear headphones. Like I just was in the environment and sort of like listening and observing and just being in New York, which is fun. I know we've talked about this before that I tend to like put my watch on, put my headphones on, and then I'm on a mission, you know?
Yeah.
So it was nice to just like be in New York and be in the environment and kind of like walk around. And the way that I was getting my ticket, that it was like arrive at the theater no earlier than 2 hours ahead of time. So of course I was there at like 1 hour and 55 minutes ahead of time, like just trying to follow the rules. And the woman at the box office was like, you can really just show up like 15 minutes ahead of time, like come back come back in an hour and a half and we'll get you a better seat because we'll have a better idea of like what the room looks like. And so I did, like, I was kind of nervous, but then I sort of like walked around and looked at the theaters, which I have done since the shutdown, but it was kind of fun to see because things are coming back, like things are opening again, and like there are notices up of like box office opens blah 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 and tickets, you know. So it was just fun. Like I got a little misty, and I will say that when I walked into, it's the August Wilson Theater that I was at. And I just walking into, I mean, I'll get emotional now, like walking into a theater lobby, a Broadway theater lobby. And yeah. I just like, burp, like the tears just kind of like, I wasn't like crying.
I cry,
but like
anyways,
the tears,
Mike.
Just sort of like
so
came.
Imagine. Yeah. Yeah. I love a theater. I get overwhelmed with the sense of like the art that's going to, we're going to see, and the community that I'm going to sit and have a shared experience. God damn it. It's one of my favorite things in the world.
Yeah. And it was really,
so I understand.
Yeah. It was very, I mean, I think we've talked about this before, that like, theater is that's my church.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
I don't go to church. I go to the theater. Like it is like my religious experience. And I don't even care what the show is. Like, I don't even care if I end up liking the show. Like the lights coming down and a curtain going up. And it's such a beautiful, like, artistic and communal experience. And it's funny because I remember when they first announced Broadway coming back, and that obviously everyone would have to be vaccinated, but that you would still have to wear a mask in the theater. And my first thought was like, oh, that sounds awful. Like, I don't know how I'm going to feel about that. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like, just putting it on record, you don't even notice it after like the first 2 seconds. You're just in a theater watching a show. I had no thought of the fact that I was wearing a mask.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful, wonderful experience. I got to see a Broadway show on Tony's Sunday, but we're going to save the Tonys for a little bit later in the podcast because I have a whole lot to say about that.
Very excited.
And there you go. That was kind of my week. So anything you want to talk about in your week, or is it just work?
Well, what happened in my one of the things that happened in my week is actually the thing that I'm digging.
Oh, cool. Should be.
Because I didn't get to watch a lot of TV. If it's okay,
yeah,
let's get right to digging.
Slide into digging.
Okay, so this episode for me is brought to you by my just turned 4-year-old son. So my digging this week. So both of my kids, they needed to be in some sort of a activity, sport, anything. I personally, like, I love dance and I love gymnastics and whatever, but it just so happened I could get my daughter in a intro to jazz class for dance, and I could at the same time have my son do an awesome, it's like, I think 4 is the oldest in those in that class, but it's like 3 to 5, maybe it's 5. Anyways, that is not important, but he's doing a ballet. They start with tap, then they move to ballet shoes, and then they do tumbling at the end with no shoes. So they have like 3 different costume changes throughout. It's a whole hour too, which is kind of a lot for like a little one. But anyways, he's been doing this class for the last probably like 2 months, maybe a little over. And they, last year this time, they had to cancel all of the recitals and everything. Because obviously due to COVID, but this year they had a different idea at how to do it safely. Only one parent would get to go in, and they would just, you know, keep the kids spread out, and it happened safely. But here's how it happened for my son. So they didn't, usually you buy very expensive dance costumes, which it's kind of extravagant and crazy, but I just love a costume. You know me, I'm like, give me some glitter and some, let's put some makeup on and whatever. And they weren't doing that. They were dancing. They were doing a tap routine to the song Frozen 2, Olaf singing When I Get Older. You know, this isn't the dun dun dun, get older. And so they told the girls, or all the people in the class, and Calvin is the only boy. And they said, you know, just wear Frozen dresses or Frozen stuff. And Calvin, he didn't want to. I even tried to get him a Kristoff costume, which, how cute would that have been?
Adorable,
Right? Or like an Olaf costume, easy to find. He was like, no, I won't do it. But he loves to do he did so well. He did so well, you guys. He's my little tapper and he's so adorable. He did great at the routine. He loves doing the class, but just refused the Frozen costume. So I was like, okay, what do you want to be? And he's like, I want to be a zombie. And I'm like, what? So how I worked it out was I found some clothing in the color scheme of Frozen, and I put it on. It was like a tie-dye thing. And then I made his face pretty scary. And when we got there, the teacher was like, oh, she's actually really, really cool. She's rad. She's like you know, a beautiful dancer body, tattoos, like a long ponytail. You know, I don't think that he scared her, but I think she was a little bit like, okay. And they all have to wear masks, you know. So part of his bloody whatever face, it was mostly like white, you know. I tried to do like more, tried to keep it in the tone of Frozen.
Right, yeah.
So at least, you know, I'm like, maybe someone could be like, this is like from the Enchanted Forest or whatever that is. And like, or this is like one of the spirits, you know, like the wind or something. Anyways, it was so stinking cute. And my heart just exploded. And you know what? He was great. I love that he didn't want to conform. And I like that luckily we were in a place where it's COVID. So we could, nobody's going to tell me I can't get into that room. And you know, I mean, like they can't deny him. Everybody thought he was really cute. So it was just great. It was joyful. It was so, and Mike, I cried like I was in a goddamn theater. I did. I cried like I was in a Broadway theater because I was so overwhelmed with watching him practice something for so long and do a pretty good job. And sorry, Amelia, my older daughter, if you ever listened to this, but when you were 3/4, you did not have this kind of focus. So he really killed it. So that's what I'm digging.
Yeah, I was going to ask, is he able to focus in the class? Like, is he like there pretty present for the whole hour?
Always for the tap and for the ballet usually. But then by the time we get to tumbling, he's like messing around. Like he's definitely,
gotcha. He's
doing it. But the teacher, she's really good. She is, all the other girls are, everyone's in La La Land at that age. They're just like bonk da bonk, walking around, doing things. There's a few kids that are actually doing it. But in the beginning of the class, his focus is really strong. So I say it's a win.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds great. That's lovely.
He's so cute, Mike. It's just adorable.
I really want to see.
I'll send you all
video.
The pictures and the video.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. I don't necessarily feel comfortable sharing it on our social media just because my, you know, like kiddos. But listen, if you know me, I'll send it to you. So
I love it. I have been slowly... I'm not caught up, but I've been slowly watching Only Murders in the Building.
Yes!
And I know we've mentioned this a couple times before, but I just want to make a real quick point about this particular TV program, because I was a little bit skeptical about one particular aspect of it. But I have to call myself out. I have to confess that I was completely wrong. I knew not of what I was talking or thinking. You know who's really, really good in that TV show? Selena Gomez.
Oh, Selena. I thought Martin Short. No, she is really good. Her voice is different. It's just different. She talks a little like this. It's all like here. She's talking like this all the time. She's like, I don't know. I don't know about that. But maybe she's going for something. But I don't really know how she talks in real life. It's fine. I don't want to judge the way the woman talks. But I do. I love her in this.
I just think that her like, but part of the way that she's talking is kind of unusual. But I just think that her cadence, like her and her like ability to like bounce off of like Steve Martin and Martin Short, like the fact that she can kind of like go toe to toe, I found it to be really impressive. And I think it's mostly because I had very like low expectations, very much like and I don't know her. I've never seen her do anything. I'm like, I don't have children, so I have no occasion to watch any of the Disney stuff. So I don't know what she's usually like. I'm just surprised at how much I'm enjoying her performance. That's all.
Good.
I just wanted to give a quick mention
love
of that.
Her. I'm up to date and ooh, it's getting good. It's getting so good.
I'm very excited. I think I'm like 4 episodes in. Oh. I just watched the Sting episode, which was very fun.
Hilarious. That's so funny.
So yeah, that was super fun. And Tina Fey is really fun. Like I like that she's getting to play this sort of like, I mean, it's clearly kind of a parody character of Sarah Koenig, was that her name, who did Serial?
Oh,
anyway.
Is it? Yeah, I didn't know, but
it feels kind of like that. I think that's kind of what they're going for, but it's very enjoyable. But the main thing that I wanted to talk about, and I actually meant to bring it up last week, because now we're 2 episodes into the new season. Did you watch any of The Morning Show on Apple?
Not yet. I'm holding off. I want to watch it, but I've got a lot going on right now.
Yeah, no, I feel you. The first season was like more than a year ago, because of course COVID happened and it like shut down production. And here's what I'm going to say about it. I'm not saying it's like a great show. I'm not saying it's like in the upper echelons of television. But what I will say, and for all of it, like it definitely deals with some tough issues and definitely goes to some dark places. It's just super fun.
Really?
It's so much fun to watch. Jennifer Aniston, we've talked about this before. We're both Fanistons.
Fanistons, absolutely.
I just think that her work is so much fun. I will say that when she didn't win the Emmy Award for season 1, I was kind of like, well, that was it. That was kind of her chance. Like, I don't know this is a character that you like have a chance in a season 2. Okay, season 2, her work is so really? Good, and it's so different. Like, what they've done with the character, I don't think this is really spoilery, but, like, minorly, like, her journey in the first season is of kind of, like, being a dark character who has to make a decision whether or not to, like, step into the light. Second season finds her in a completely different emotional situation in which, as we're progressing, it seems as though she truly wants to do the correct thing and just no one believes her. Like, everyone's kind of like, what's your game? And maybe it's all going to flip. Oh. Maybe it's all going to be a thing. But, like, her work is so interesting and so much fun. And they've taken the Reese Witherspoon character, who was kind of like the naive, like, I just want to do good, y'all, character in the first season. And they've sort of made her, like, the sinister, like, what is she up to? Like, what has Hollywood done to her? It's just so interesting. I'm loving the second season. We're only 2 episodes in, so I have no idea where it's going to go. Billy Crudup, too. Like, I've been a Billy Crudup fan for so long, and he did win the Emmy Award for season one. And just his work is so much fun. I'm just thoroughly enjoying it. I think we've talked a lot about Apple TV at this point. So
we really have.
You know, it's definitely worth checking out when you get a chance. I highly recommend The Morning Show. Tons of fun. There you go.
Oh, by the way, Mike, I caught up with What We Do in the Shadows TV, and it's just delicious.
Yeah, it was.
It's so good. I was so disappointed to know that I'm caught up last night. My husband was like, we're caught up. I'm like, no, we're not. No, we're not.
Can I say a couple of things? When you told me that you realized that you hadn't watched season two, the jealousy that I felt, I was like, ugh. I was like, have you even gotten to Daytona yet? Like, I was so jealous that you were going to, like, have that whole
Jackie
experience.
Jackie Daytona.
Oh, so good. It's so good. Really? Can I just also say, in season three, I knew the first moment that they started to establish a particular storyline, I knew exactly where they were going with it. But I was just the whole, like, I don't have a problem with Gale.
Yeah.
Like, that whole storyline, like, I knew exactly where it was going. I knew that it was gonna, like, I loved it so much. Oh my God. It gives me life.
And
I love it.
Also, third season, my improv teacher, which I took for 2 years straight because I liked him so much and thought he was really fun to just, he was just entertaining to take his class, was Anthony Atamic, who plays a minor character. He's like the next door neighbor who's best friends with
Fun. Yeah.
Laszlo. Yeah. It's funny. So anyways, just wanted to mention that too. It's just, it's great. I love it.
So my do without feels weird coming before the topic, because topic wise, we're going to talk about the Tonys a little bit.
Okay. Yeah.
So why don't we do, how do you feel about that? Can we talk about the Tonys
Let's
a little bit
Tonys
and then we'll do our do without.
Yeah.
So we're not going to do, you didn't watch any of the Tonys, did you?
I have it recorded and I meant to. So just, I want you to know that.
No, it's fine. I'm going to spoil a bunch of it for you, but it's an award show, so it's pretty much spoiled anyways.
I love
anyways.
To be spoiled. Spoil me. I mean, spoil it.
So they did a weird thing this year that I had no issue with until I had major issues with, in which they took it, they basically had it be two different shows. So there was a 2-hour Tony Awards on Paramount Plus. Mm-hmm. And then it was where they gave out almost every award. They gave out almost all the awards in this pre-show that was really the Tonys. And then they did like a celebration of Broadway that was on CBS that was also 2 hours long, in which they gave out the 3 quote unquote major prizes of play, revival of a play, and musical. There were no musical revivals that qualified this year, so that wasn't even a category. And in theory, I was kind of like, you know what? I don't really have a problem with that. No one watches award shows anyways anymore. Like, it's fine. Do what you're going to do. We'll get to more of this later. So the Tonys, the first 2 hours were hosted by Audra McDonald, and 6-time Tony Award winner. It's worth mentioning, Audra McDonald.
Oh my gosh.
She's amazing, and she deserves all 6 of them, but 6 is a lot. They started out with a Hairspray reunion, which was fun. It was fun to see like the cast kind of like reuniting. I'm not going to do like a full Oscar tell you everything, but there were just some highlights for me. Like Danny Burstein, this was his 7th Tony nomination, and he finally won for Moulin Rouge, which it was kind of a bit of a foregone conclusion. Everyone kind of thought he was going to win for a number of reasons, not to mention that like he's great in the show, but also it was his 7th nomination and he's just loved in the industry. And so he got to get up. And of course, one of the things that he did was talk about his wife, Rebecca Luker, who passed away last December. And I get emotional about it partly because she's just was a lovely, lovely person who I did get to meet one time and I got to see her on stage. But she also passed away from ALS, which is what my father passed away from. So it was listening to her like interviews as it progressed was very you know, I hate being like traumatic for me, but it was very much like hearing the progression of her voice and like her last interview where she just, you know, you could hear it in her breath. And anyways, I don't want to get too into that because I know that it's dark, but it was, I was very happy for him that he got to get up there and give a great speech and recognize his late wife. And Moulin Rouge kind of went on to like win most of the awards. Like it won, I think, all the technical awards, including for Sonia Taya, who was a choreographer on So You Think You Can Dance.
Yes.
And she won for best choreography.
Sonia.
And I was so, yeah, she's so great. And she got to give up and give a really amazing speech. I want to just read a little piece of it. I mean, one of the themes of the night was inclusion and activism, obviously, after all that's been happening in the world and even specifically on Broadway. So she talks about, she said, dance is an art that survives the multiplicity, color, and layer in community. As we steady ourselves again, I hope we can remember what art collectively brings us. It welcomes. As a brown, queer, Arab American woman, I wasn't always welcome. It takes graceful hands to lead people like me to the door. It's been 10 years since a woman has won this award. Though I'm honored to be part of this legacy is too small. We need a vastness to break into a new era for all people. And that was another recurring theme of the night, like the fact that it had been 10 years since a woman won choreography. And then Matthew Lopez, The Inheritance, ended up winning Best Play. And he's the first, not just Latin man, like the first Latin person to ever win the Tony Award for Best Play, which feels insane to me.
Sounds like it's a small club that they don't let a lot of people in, or they're maybe starting to let people in.
And I just think that that's a huge part of it. I was, you know, I watched the Tonys with Annabelle, and we were sort of talking about how, you know, I think that, not I think, part of it is that like everyone in charge is white. Like everyone at the top is a white person. And it's just as we get more people of color and more people who are bringing a different voice to it in charge, like you have to have those people up here. I do think that that's like
100%
such a huge part of the problem I'm not saying people that are in charge right now aren't qualified, but it takes more. We need more. We need more variety of voice and variety of background at the top. So anyways, that was sort of a recurring theme of the night. I will say one really funny thing that happened. Audra McDonald is host. It came back, I think, from the commercial. And she, like, looking at the camera, just said, Audra McDonald. Like, clearly it said on the teleprompter her name. She, like, said her name. It was very funny. Oh, it was a great moment.
She did it on purpose or on accident?
No, I think it was an accident. I think that she literally, like, saw her name. And we just said, Audra McDonald. And I was like, oh, no. And then, like, went on to read it. But, like, it was laughing, too. It was very, very funny. Jagged Little Pill won a few things. It won for a book for Diablo Cody, which I was really happy for because I also am a big admirer of hers. And she had a really great story. I also loved how she was like, being up on this stage is terrifying and you all do it. Like, you can't do it enough. Like, yeah, you enjoy being up here. And that's insane to me. Yeah. And that was kind of fun. And Jennifer Holliday was there and she won the Tony Award for Dreamgirls, I think like 40 years ago.
Oh,
and she
cool.
did I'm Telling You I'm Not Going. And like, listen.
Shut up.
She killed it. Like, and I get that if you're coming into it out of nowhere, it's a little over the top. Like, she's doing her Jennifer Holliday thing. I was in tears. I honestly at one point was like, I literally yelled at the TV set, everybody stand up, and they did. Like, I think they heard me. I was like, why are you sitting? And
oh,
it was amazing. It was such
that.
A great moment. Yeah, so much fun to watch. There was a whole thing with Aaron Tveit, who's the lead actor in Moulin Rouge, that for the first time ever he was the only nominee in an acting category. Oh. Which doesn't even necessarily mean you're gonna win it, because you have to be like approved by 60% of the voting block. And obviously he was, and so he won a Tony Award. And there are people that are calling it like his fake Tony and whatever. I get it's funny, but like, he's very good in the show. He's a very good performer. I was really happy for him. I have to say, I didn't know how much I wanted Mary Louise Parker to win for The Sound Inside until they said her name. And I was so happy. Like, I like yelled and was so excited for her. And
oh, good.
I just love her so much. And it was such a singular, like, amazing performance. And Laura Linney needs to get a Tony Award someday. Like, it's bizarre to me that she doesn't have one yet. And she was also nominated. And I didn't see her show, so I can't even comment on her performance. But even Mary Louise Parker was like, I can't even look over at you right now. Like, I love you so much.
Aww.
So anyways, those were kind of my highlights. It was a really fun ceremony. For those that, you know, it's all on Paramount Plus. So even if you have it recorded, you can watch the first 2 hours. You can watch the second 2 hours. It's all there on the app now to be watched. However, at your leisure.
Oh, that's so great to know.
There you go.
Thank you, Mike.
The Tony Award's such like a specific thing. Do you have any like Tony memories? Have you ever watched them before? That might be a weird question to ask.
Yeah. You know, I don't really have any specific memories except for watching them at your house and making pretty cocktails and eating and watching and always enjoying. But nothing really stands out for me particularly.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I just remember like watching them when I still lived in our hometown and I was just like starting to do theater in high school. And I want to say it was maybe like the 1997 Tony Awards. No, it was before that. Someone in theater is yelling right now because it's so obvious what year this would have been. But it was the year that it was The Lion King versus Ragtime. And it was these sort of like titans, and Lion King ended up kind of winning everything. And sadly, Ragtime ended up closing for other kind of crazy reasons. But I always remember that. That's like the one that I remember the most a first early Tony Award experience. But there you go. That's sort of some little highlights of the Tony Awards, which could easily lead into my do without. Do you mind if I go first?
Do it. Give it to us.
Okay. So here's the flip side of my entire Tony experience. And part of it maybe was just me not realizing the new technology and how it's going to work. I did not know. And like, thank goodness I was watching it with Annabelle, who watches live sports using various apps. I had no idea that you have to watch it when it's happening. Like, it's not a matter of like, you can't start late.
Oh, yeah.
You can't pause. Like, I didn't know that. So like literally at like 6:58, when she's like, no, we have to watch it as it's happening, then I'm like, what? And like, I like ran to the living room and like turned it on. But then I'm like, well, we're cooking. Like, we were still cooking in the kitchen. So then I like grabbed my iPad and I had to like download the app and like sign into it. And like, it was just, and then we had to like run from the kitchen to the living room to like watch it in there and then run back to the, yeah, it was just, I was like, all right, I wasn't prepared for this. And maybe that's on me. Maybe it's my fault. Like, I should have been aware of how it was going to go. But here are some other things. I have a few. So the second half of it was called A Celebration of Broadway. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
One would assume it's going to be lots of performances from Broadway shows and like, let's showcase, say, come to New York and see a show. Here are some things that are playing. No, it wasn't that. And I'm not trying to be negative about anyone that did perform, but it was a whole lot of people who are currently not on Broadway singing songs from shows. They're not, are not currently on Broadway.
Oh.
Like, it just didn't make any sense to me. And there were some great moments, like Kristen Chenoweth and Idina Menzel got together to sing from Wicked, which they've sung that song together so many times that I can only imagine that they're maybe done with it at this point.
Yeah.
And like, Audra McDonald and Brian Stokes Mitchell got together and sang Wheels of a Dream from Ragtime, and that was magical. So I'm not complaining about all of it. It just, it felt like, where were the other, you know, like the three shows that were nominated for musical got to perform, and holy moly, Adrienne Warren, who won the Tony Award for lead actress in a musical for playing Tina Turner.
Ooh.
I don't know what she does. I don't know how that her voice does that. It was phenomenal. Like, wait till you get to her number. Oh, also just real fast.
Yeah.
I love Elizabeth Stanley, and she's in the Jagged Little Pill musical, but she's pretty pregnant. And so she's already announced that she's not coming back to the show when it reopens. And who, maybe if it plays long enough, she'll get to come back and do it. But I was so happy that the number they chose from that was a number that she's in, and so she got, she her very pregnant self
good
got to get up on stage and perform the number, and that was really fun too, because once again, I have a lot of love for her, so it was great to see her perform.
Oh, I love that.
But where was, say, Six is a new musical that's opening next week,
right?
Where was even like The Lion King? Like, I don't know, it just felt like there were all these shows that are coming back to Broadway. Why weren't we showcasing them?
Let's actually celebrate Broadway.
Right. Like, why aren't we like, hey, come, this, these are the things you can come see. So that felt like a really missed opportunity to me. And then, and this is my, I will let it go after this, but one of the things that I really love about watching an award ceremony is that when it's all over, I'll like do my dishes, I'll kind of tidy up from whatever I did during, I'll make one more cocktail, and I'll sit down and I'll watch it again kind of fast. Like, I'll kind of like fast forward and I'll stop and cry over the emotional okay moments and watch, you know.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do that because it was a damn app and it wasn't available for rewatching that night.
Oh, that's annoying.
And it is now. Like, yet last night I sat down and kind of did it where I was like, I guess today I'll sit down and watch the highlights, and I still cried. It was all fine. But I don't know. I was just like, I don't know. Technology as it gets better should not also be worse.
Yeah.
I don't know. There you go. I'm an old man and I don't like it.
Well, I'm with you. It takes away some of your freedom of how you're watching. Yeah. So I mean, that sounds really dramatic, but you know what I mean? In a small way, it takes away the freedom of how you watch. Not like yeah. your freedom, but you know.
No, absolutely. So there you go. There's all my complaining that I have to do.
I
how
love
about you?
It.
What could you do? What could you do without this
well,
week?
First of all, I'm going to say my mom is coming on Thursday because, oh, guys, it's Thursday. It's my birthday. What's up?
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. I mean, it's not actually Thursday when we record, but whatever. My mom will be here and my dad as well. But I'm going to wait to watch the Tonys until she's with me because we'll her and I will gotcha. Really enjoy it together.
No, I love that.
Because I know one thing she always says to me is like, I want to go back to New York with you and I want to go see theater. And I'm like, hell yeah, let's do that.
Absolutely.
So I can't wait for that, Mike.
Sweet.
Okay, so the thing that I'm not digging, I told you in the beginning that this this theme for me today is my beautiful son. So he's 4. He just turned 4, honestly, a couple days ago. We all have birthdays in September, pretty much. And I don't know. I feel like everyone tells you, like, around 5 years old, you start to see the light. Like, they can take care of themselves a little bit better. Things are easier. Well, I had to have him come home early because something with my husband had to take the car. But then I had a really big meeting. So I needed my daughter and him to be occupied while I was doing this meeting. And I was, like, running the meeting, you know. So I'm, like, on the Zoom. And I'm, like, ba-da-ba-da-ba-ba. Because that's my stage right now. And I had put, and listen, maybe I'm the idiot here. Not maybe, probably, most definitely. But I had created like our entire dining room table. I put a bunch of art supplies and my daughter was supposed to be there like watching. Like if he does anything stupid, she would try at least like stop that. Somehow he found paints, which I did not have out. It was mostly just like gluey, cutty thing, like markery things. And I had heard the faucet go on. And I don't know if anyone else has kids, but like when that happens and it doesn't turn off quickly, you know, like some shit's going down. And it's like he was playing, but part of me was like, well, maybe he's just really washing his hands really well. And so I finally get done 20 minutes later with the meeting. And I go downstairs and what he had plugged all the sinks and the toilet with toilet paper, just like ton of it everywhere. And so it was filling up, but he was enjoying that. And then he had paint. So he had bright red blood looking paint and he had cups and he was taking them out to the living room and his toys, Black Panther, Iron Man, Hulk were sitting there. And in the middle of them, he was pouring water on the carpet and making a pool for them to play in. And I was just like, oh my God. Like there was paint and water everywhere in the bathroom. And if y'all follow us, we just bought this house. I'm like, can we keep it nice for like a second? And luckily we have a ruggable rug where you just pull off the top and then wash the whole rug. But I mean, he went into timeout, but I was just like, I don't even know how to get mad about this. Like, I'm so upset, but it was like shit was, and then my older daughter, I was like, where are you? She's like, I had to poop. And so she gets her iPad and she's pooping for an hour. And that's what happened. So that's what I could do without like not being able to trust my son to wash his gosh darn hands. Oh, Mike, it hurts. He's so cute, though. Thank God, though.
That feels very massive.
It was massive. Like, I just shut down. Like, I couldn't even freak out. I was like, what? I was like, you cannot do that again. I don't know, Mike. Could have been worse. I guess I could think that way. But yeah, so that's what I could do with
it. All right. I feel you. Do you have anything random for us to wrap us up?
You know what? I work for this company and they have the best sports bras and it's the stupidest thing. But like when you run with a normal sports bra that you just buy, you're, you know, lady lumps go everywhere.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just saying the Brooks running bra tops. The sports bras they have, they are damn good. If you got some sensitive ladies up there and you want to hold them in tight, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. It is good.
I like it. I like it. That's great. I was just going to mention one more Tony thing, and that's that Lois Smith won a Tony Award, her first Tony Award at the age of 90.
What?
For The Inheritance. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. I think that's such a interesting and inspiring and wonderful thing to think about. A 90-year-old lady won her first Tony Award.
Wow, I want to do that.
So congratulations. Right?
Congratulations.
We've talked about before, like, youngest to do something is not interesting to me. Oldest to do something, that's fascinating. That's what I want to hear about.
Exactly.
So congratulations to her.
Yay.
Anyways, I have had such a lovely time talking with you, and I'm glad that I'm in a better mood than I was last week.
Me too.
And I love you.
I love you, Mike
Jensen.
Thank you
all for listening.
Thanks, guys.
We'll talk. I'm so excited for your mom to come visit.
I know. We'll call you. Yeah. Maybe she'll be on the show next week with me.
A little guest spot.
She'll love it.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex and the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya, alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores, and email us at Mike and Vanya Can't Not at Gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows. But you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We'll be back next week.